and for you to be able to find out information about our church. So I'm just, it's amazing that God has brought us here today. And if you can dial my mic down a little bit, because I'm really loud. I'm a really loud person because I'm excited. Just a reminder, offering is a privilege that we Christians have to give to the Lord. And so we have three different ways in which you can give. We can give in person. There's a offering box in the back. You can give by mail or electronically. And if there are other ways that you would like to give, please see our treasurer, Eliza. I have a few quick announcements for us. The first is City Team. We're going to be going and serve the community. So if you'd like to participate in this, please see Annie. And Annie is away on a vacation, but she'll be back. But please join us. And also, Fall Festival is coming up November 2nd, and it will be a great opportunity for us to bless this community. And we need as much volunteers as possible because it's going to be a great time for kids. Often parents are looking for a place in which their kids can have a safe place to have and play, and we know that a couple of days before that is Halloween, and so we want to bless our community. And so I believe this is a great way for us as a church to bless our community for giving a safe place for children to be able to interact and obviously have some candy as well. So we need all the volunteers as possible. October 13th, which is two Sundays from now, we will have our mission conference. Our guest speaker will be Reverend Albert Yeap, and I just want to welcome you to come and join us as we learn what God's heart is for missions. Also, I have another very important announcement as well. Can you go to the next slide? Pastor Lewis and Emma and our church would like to express their gratitude for coming and celebrating their ordination. Next slide, please. There's a slide before that. There should be a slide before that. But I'd like to talk about the faith promise. Traditionally, our church has done what we call faith pledge, and that is how we raise money for our church's mission. But I'd like for us to make a little change and do things a little bit differently. Instead of faith promise, we're calling it instead of faith pledge, we're calling it faith promise. And what is the difference between a faith pledge and a faith promise? Well, a faith pledge is giving based on what you are able to give. It's on top of your tithes and offerings and based on what you are capable of giving. And so then missions is dependent on the extra that you feel that you can give. And really, God doesn't have much of a part in it. But a faith promise is different is because now we are learning to trust God on this journey. And so what a faith promise is very simple. We are going to depend on God to provide for the funds in order to provide for the missions. And so what's that going to happen is very simple. What we're going to do is you're going to go home and you're going to ask God two simple questions. You're going to ask God, how would you like me to join in this faith promise? Because it is a faith mission, faith journey that we walk with God, and we depend on God to provide for us. So we're going to go home, and we're going to ask the question, God, how would you like me to participate in this faith promise? After you ask that question, if God says, I'd like you to participate, then you ask God a very simple question. God, what is the financial number that you want me to depend on you to provide? That's a tough one. Most of us say, well, I'm capable of giving this amount. But then that doesn't really require a faith journey between us and God. And so what we want to do is we want to hear the word from God to tell us the number and also how we can join in and then to depend on him. I'll give you an example. Let's say in your prayer, you pray and God says, yes, I want you to join in. And God says, I want you to trust in me to provide $3,000 so that you can give to missions. Wow, that's a challenge, right? You go, well, now you are totally dependent on God to provide for this amount. This is the extra that God blesses you with. And so I'll give you an example. Like all of a sudden when it's tax season, right, and you're expecting to pay this very big, giant tax bill, right, but all of a sudden you got a refund for $3,000. That's God's blessing. right? That's how God provides. So these are different ways, and God provides differently. But what we're doing is that we're going to walk with God on this journey, entrusting that God will provide. So it is God-dependent, not depending on ourselves. Because it honestly, it's easy to give money and learn nothing from it. But this is a journey that we learn to walk with God and trust in God to provide. Because this will begin to open up our eyes to see what God is doing. And so on this faith promise, we're going to do it differently than what we've done in the past. Because now we're learning to trust in God. And so in this pamphlet, you'll find how to hear the voice of God. I wrote a little bit something for you so that you can learn how to hear the voice of God. And it gives you instructions on how to actually go through this process. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to me or Bo about the process, okay? I have one other final announcement is this. When I said yes to the Lord to coming to this church, God impressed upon my heart to help this church address our past. And this church has quite a past. And so I want us to go on this journey to address the past. And so what I'm doing is I'm calling a solemn assembly for October 20th for the English-speaking congregation. And we're going to gather together after service, and it's going to be available for Zoom as well, because we want those who are away at college and also who may be traveling to be a part of this. This is going to be a very important journey for us to address our past and heal from it and to move forward. And so what is a solemn assembly? Well, we're going to gather together as the people of God, and we're going to come before God, and we're going to repent. We're going to address some of the issues of our past to bring some clarity, and then we're going to let go of the past so that we can move forward. I believe this is such an important journey for us to walk before we can fully say, yes, we're going to move forward. And so mark this calendar on your calendar down, because this is very important, okay? So at this point, I'd like you to rise and take a moment to greet each other. I know this is a little weird for you. This is the first time, but take a moment. Get to know each other. Sometimes you don't turn around. You get to know each other. Say hi to each other. Don't be shy. I know all of you are feeling a little awkward because all of a sudden you notice that there's a major change in the way that we're having our worship order. Feels a little different because these are some of the changes that we're going to beginning to make. And as I said, before we can move forward, we have to address certain things. And I really want to encourage you to be a part of that solemn assembly. Before we begin, would you join with me in a word of prayer? Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence is among us. And so we want to take our eyes off of ourselves and the things that are before us, and we want to turn our eyes to you. We ask that you'll open up our ears, you'll open up our hearts to understand, to comprehend, to receive your truth, so that change can profoundly take place in our life. God, I pray for myself, may I not simply be a speaker of your word, but a doer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you know that the Church of God can be a very great place to be a part of? Right? I mean, think about it. It's in church that we meet people. We experience community. It's in church that we experience the powerful movement of God. Right? And it's a beautiful picture. But there's also another picture that most of us probably don't talk about, but we have experienced. And that is that the Church of God can actually be a very ugly place to be at. I mean, if we're real enough, we can say, yeah, the Church of God can actually really be a very ugly place to be at, because the Church of God is filled with people, and sometimes people do things and they just cause you to be upset. Sometimes people say things and it hurts you. Sometimes there are sins that happens in the church and it just profound you and confuse you. Now, I've been a pastor for about 22 years now, and I've served in total about four churches. This is my fifth. And I can honestly say that with every church stop I've been at, I've experienced pain and I've experienced frustration that has really, at times, left me confused. Now, before I was a church planter, I served in a very large Chinese Alliance church, which was about probably one of the largest Chinese Alliance church in New York, and probably one of the larger Alliance church in New York as well. The church was great. We had a nice, big, giant building. We had a ministry for everyone of all ages, from children all the way to elderly. I mean, we had a large staff. We had a paid staff of about 22. And I was the associate pastor of the high school ministry. Now, you will wonder, why would they even have an associate pastor of the high school ministry? Because the high school ministry was over 120 students, high schoolers. Right, our English ministry was growing, was close, pushing past 300. The Chinese congregation had they had two services, and both sanctuaries sat more than 600 people. So on any given Sunday, the church would be packed and would be lively. And so it was a very growing and thriving church. It was a church that I guess everybody wanted to be at. But you know what I've discovered? That even churches, large churches, they have problems. And problems often are hidden and in secret. But there's things about problems and issues and sin that doesn't always stay hidden. Eventually, it always rises to the past. And I could remember the problem at this church that I was at very clearly because it left such a lasting impression in my heart. I remember it very clearly because at that time, our senior pastor and founding pastor was disciplined by our district. Now, in the Christian Missionary Alliance, when a pastor is disciplined by the district, it means that there's a charge that has been brought before the district about the person's sin. And that charge then is investigated. And that charge has to be substantiated. Well, what happened was the district investigated him, substantiated his charge, and that he was going to be disciplined. Now, if you're a pastor and you have sin, his sin was moral failure, guess what? What the district do? They will deflock you. That means they will remove you from being pastor of that church. And so that was the process that was happening. But because there were church politics at play, there wasn't any full transparency to the church. And because of that, the district superintendent had to step in. And the district superintendent stepped in by disbanding the governing board. Because the governing board did not comply with what the district does. Now, in the Christian Missionary Alliance, we have accountability. There's our checks and balances that gives us accountability. That Betty says nobody can do whatever they want. It's accountability because we're part of a denomination. And so what happened was that the district superintendent says, okay, call a congregational meeting. We're going to address this issue and bring clarity to this issue. But guess what? Before the night before the district superintendent was going to come and have the congregation meeting, the senior pastor and the Chinese pastor called a meeting themselves off-site to explain their side of the story. And so on that day, I remember very clearly, all of our members gathered together and the district superintendent got up. I have to admit, I've never experienced our sanctuary to having that type of atmosphere. It was almost demonic. Because when this district superintendent got up, people were booing him. People were making very non-Christ-like comments. That was very shocking because these people who were making comments were people that my wife used to call uncles and aunties because my brother grew up in the church and who she thought were spiritual people. And they were booing and hissing and just saying very not Christ-like things to the district superintendent. And so the district superintendent got up and says, we have to remove the pastor because of moral failure. All of a sudden, somebody from the back, a lady from the back, she got up, she ran all the way to the front. And she said, no, no, you can't say that. You can't share this. This is so sinful. You can't talk about people's sin like that in public. Now, we may laugh at that, but I like to suggest to you that that's probably a lot of the postures and what we think about things as well, that we shouldn't talk about people's sin in church. We shouldn't talk about corporate sin. Let the past be the past. It already happened. But the truth of the matter, that cannot happen. That can't stay in the past because it leaves destruction and a path of hardship for the church. Now, we know that the church can be filled with good stuff and also bad stuff. In fact, this church has also experienced some ugly stuff as well. These ugly stuff, you know, as a Chinese church, we often like to let the past be the past. Why bother talking about it? Why revealing it? Why do we even have to address it? Can't we just move on and just forget like nothing happened? But here's the thing. Unless we begin to address the past, it will always be there. And today's passage I'd like to read to us will give us insight about the past and what you and I should do about the past. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, it reads, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and behind a blessing. Grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare the holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep before the pedestal and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nation. Why should they say among the people, where is their God?" Before we dive into this passage, I want to kind of give you a little bit of background to set up this passage. The book of Job was written, obviously, by the prophet Job. And we call it a minor prophet, not because they are minor, but because of the brevity of the amount of work they wrote. And in chapter 1, the context of that time was most likely the book of Job took place after the exile. Probably most likely somewhere between the timeline of Ezra and Nehemiah. And so there was a issue and a disaster that was happening in Jerusalem. A famine had took place and a disaster was coming. And the disaster had already happened. There was a plague of locusts that came in to the land and it devoured all of their crops. All of the grain and all of the crops. And now they have nothing. Now, why was the grain so important? Because the grain offering was the way in which the people were able to worship God. So now they have a problem. The big problem is this. There's no longer any grain, and they can't worship God. And so Job is now pointing to them why this is happening. He says, hey, do you remember what happened in Egypt when God sent the locusts? The reason why God sent the locusts in Egypt was because God was judging the people of Egypt. And so what Job is saying, listen, the reason why the locust here is today on us is because God is coming to judge us. Wow. And then he says this, guess what? It may seem like locusts, but let me tell you, beginning of chapter 2, he says, this locust is eventually going to be turned into a physical army that's going to come and bring destruction to us because God is coming to bring judgment upon us. Scary, isn't it? But he says this in chapter 2, verse 12. He says, even now. What a powerful word. He says, even now. And what that basically means is, listen, even though this is happening, even though the judgment of God is here and it is coming, we can still stop this. There is still hope. Even though God's judgment is coming upon us, there is still hope. Such powerful words. Those are powerful words because guess what? No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, there is still hope. Even now, in the midst of our sins, there is hope. Even now, there is hope. How do we have hope? Why? What can we actually do to remove the judgment of God? He says this, to rend your heart and not your garment. Right? This word rend means to tear apart. Now, he says, rend your heart and not your garments. What does that mean? Well, the culture of that time, in order to show anguish and that you're suffering, people usually tear off their clothes so that people can say, look at me, I'm suffering. So let's say a great injustice has been done to you, and you're now in the assembly of the elders. So what do? You get before the assembly of the elders there, and you tear off your clothes, and you bow down, and you say, people have done injustice on me. What are you doing? You're telling them to look at me. Look at my suffering and my anguish. And so when the people of Israel, when they repented for their sins, when they've done something wrong against God, what they will often do is they will tear off their clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes to repent, so that they can say to God, God, look at me. Look at the suffering that I have endured. Please help me. But Job says, no. No. Instead of doing that, you need to tear open your heart. Because unless you tear open your heart, you won't see that great divide that is preventing you from truly repenting. It's interesting that this word to tear apart and to remove this cloud, it's really repentance, don't you think? Because this word repentance, it doesn't mean that we're sorry about something. It doesn't mean that we say we're sorry. When we repent for our sins before our Lord, we don't say, God, I'm sorry I did this. To repent means to own up to what you have done, to turn around and change. Because repentance is a 180 turn, right? Because when we're sinning, we're going to constantly be walking the path of sin. And to repent means to turn around, to return back to God. That's what repentance means. So repentance isn't feeling sorry about it. You may have some feelings about it. But the main point of repentance is the change of action and behavior. And by simply turning around and walking to God, that is a change of behavior. But guess what? When we turn around, you can't just say, well, God, here I am. When we turn around, we have to acknowledge what is the blockage that is preventing us from God. When we turn around, it means we have to look at our sins and address it. And I believe for our church, this is what we need to do. We need to look at our past. You know, our church has a complicated past, don't you know? Let me give you an example. Most of you in the English probably don't know, but you know, most of the people I talk in this church, they always tell me that this church is a church plant from San Jose Alliance Church. Church plant. Yeah, church plant. That's what I hear. People tell me that this church is a church plant from San Jose Alliance Church. But it's not. If it was a church plant, how come for almost 22 years we don't have a mother-daughter relationship with San Jose Alliance Church? It's not a church plant. I'd like to suggest to you that the reason that our church left San Jose Alliance Church was a split. And this split took place under the covering of the expression of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because 10 years ago, those of you who disagree with the gifts of the Spirit would have left 10 years ago, before that. And that was a church plant. I'd like to suggest to you that the reason that this church split was a rebellion against spiritual authority. That's sin. And did you know that our church has many problems in the last 22 years? And for the English ministry, you guys really felt it. How many pastors have you guys gone through? One? No. Two? No. Three? No. Four? No. Five? I think five, right? Five. In 22 years, let's do the math. I'm not very good at math. 22 years, five. How many years does a pastor last? 4.4 years and 3 months, correct? I think, I'm not good at math. I'm bad Chinese. All right? That says something, doesn't it? How many people has left the church? How many waves of people have left the church? Because when this church started, guess what? How many people that came out with this church? 300 people, and you have money, Oh my goodness, did you have money? 300 people. Never grown. Always declining. One problem after another. One issue after another. One pastor leaving after another. One more wave of people leaving after another. This is the path that we have walked the last 22 years. That is where God is, and this is where we are now, 22 years. We're here after 22 years. That basically means that the judgment of God is coming at hand soon. You don't believe me? Why hasn't God blessed this church? You have a building. We have a building. I mean, trust me, as a church planter, I would have died and killed for a building of my own. Because, and it's not because this church hasn't tried. Look how hard we've tried. We have events. We try to do things. But it just doesn't take place. You know, we have newcomers coming in and out. They come. It's not that they don't come, but they do not stay. Why? I'd like to suggest to you is, why would God allow a person to stay at a place in which that he's about to bring judgment on? Why would God allow a church to grow if he's about to bring judgment on? Judgment is coming. I know most of you don't want me to say this, and I'm going to be the bad guy, but you know, I'm still on my honeymoon here, so I could say a little bit nicer things. And I can make it up by taking guys out to coffee, okay? But, you know, let me be honest here. This church is going to close within the next 5, 10 years, right? Because I already said this is a Chinese congregation. Where will you be in the next 5 years? Where are you going to be in the next 10 years? And for you guys are a little younger, you guys, yeah. But guess what? If this church begins to dwindle when there's like 10 people in each congregation, you ain't going to be here. So the reality, statistics and everything tells us, listen, oh my goodness, we're very close to the edge. Judgment day is going to come, right? Something has to happen. Something has to change. And let me suggest to you this. In order for our church to change, it isn't going to take strategies and vision. Trust me, that's very important stuff, right? It's not going to take that. Those are important, but that helps us to go forward. But guess what? You and I cannot go forward if we're still here close to judgment. Right? Because we're still walking this path. Something needs to happen. And Job says, to rend our heart and to turn around. To turn around, oh my goodness, my brothers and sisters, we got to look at this 22 years of stuff. 22 years of stuff. This stuff, guess what? I know it's hurt many of you. But I'd like to bring a little reality here. Yes, it may have hurt you. But the one that has been offended the most is who? It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was God. That is the one that has been offended the most. And guess what? Judgment is coming. We've been just dwindling. We're at our last straw. I know you guys are at the last straw because you brought in a non-OBC to be your lead pastor. Do you know how rare that is in a Chinese-speaking church? That's how desperate you guys are for change. Okay, let's be honest. I mean, let's be honest. I'm honest here. Right? That's why you guys love me. That's how desperate this church is. Right? You're ready for anything. But let me suggest to you, whatever I suggest us going forward is not going to have impact unless you and I begin to see where we're going to, and begin to turn around, to rend our heart, to remove this barrier and this spiritual cloud that is hovering over our church from receiving the full blessing of our church. I still believe that God absolutely loves this church. You know why? Because he hasn't closed the church yet. I absolutely believe that people in this church absolutely love this church as well. You know why? After 22 years of multiple waves of people exiting, you guys are still here. That says something about you, doesn't it? It says that you love God and you love this church. But you don't know what to do. But I'd like to suggest to you, this is what the Bible is teaching us, that it's time. The time is now. There is still hope for us to turn around, to look at the wall that is dividing us from God, to look at the spiritual cloud that is preventing the full blessing of God to come upon our church. And we have to address these sins as a body of Christ together. Because these sins, they didn't happen because of an individual. It's a corporate sin. And because it's a corporate sin, we have to deal with it as a corporate body of Christ. Right? And so that basically means by the sheer fact that we go to this church, we identify with that sin. I'm not an outsider. Because as a pastor of this church, I have to identify with those sins. I am guilty of those sins because I haven't addressed those sins either. Right? And so in order for you and I to begin to turn around, we have to look at our past. We have to address our past and we have to call it out for what it is. It was sin. It dishonored God. It displeased God. It hurt God. Because once we address it, that's where the change takes place, my brothers and sisters. That is when we can begin to walk forward and fully embrace the blessing of God. But that's not going to happen if we still begin to stay here. Because let's be honest here. In the last 22 years, what has happened? Right? There's a reason why most of us don't want to get involved with church. Because of the complicated struggles, the conflicts, the issues, the gossip, the shame. All those things happened. Yes, it happened. By the way, you've been wondering what I've been doing the last 2 months here at this church. I've been investigating the past. That's what I've been doing. I've been investigating the past because when I said yes to the Lord, when I came to this church, God laid upon my heart to help this church heal from its past. And so that's what I've been doing the last 2 months. I've been meeting a lot of people, talking to a lot of people, digging through a lot of the minutes to get a clear picture of what's happening. And the only thing I could see was, yes, regardless of what happened, they happened. And we never addressed it. And because we never addressed it, there's this cloud that's hanging over our church. The time is now. There's still hope. There is still hope for you and I as a church. But it starts with us by turning around. That path we continue to walk, judgment day is near. But there's hope. The time is now. The time is now for us to rend our heart. It's time for us to address the past. It's time for us to bring some transparency and clarity so that healing takes place. It's not a time to point fingers. It's not a time to complain, but it is a time to take ownership. What are we owning up to? That we took part in offending a holy God. And that we want to turn around. And that we want to change. We want to see God change us as a church. Many of you know that I like growing figs. I love growing figs. But really, I enjoy gardening. I love gardening. And the reason why I like gardening, because I maybe something about me, just wanting to build something, grow something. You know, I want to, from start to finish, I want to be able to, like, experience something growing fruit. And so I love gardening. And there's one lesson I learned through all these years of gardening is the importance of your soil condition, right? As somebody who grew in the pots, I knew the importance of having a well-draining soil. Because if you don't have a well-draining soil, guess what? It's going to choke the roots. I also realized that in order to plant plants in the ground, you need to prepare the soil. Because there are some soil that's really hard, right? I mean, like hard. It's hard. How do you know if you have a hard soil? Pour water on it and see how long it takes for it to drain. If it's not draining fast, you have a hard soil. That basically means it's choking the roots of your plants. And you may be asking the question, why isn't growing as big? I see other people's things. They're so big, lush, and they're fruiting. Why come mine is still kind of something wrong with your soil, right? And so I realized that in order for me to grow healthy plants, I have to address the soil. And so when I plant plants, I have to loosen up the soil. I want to make sure it's loose. And I want to add in things so that it helps loosen it up, right? So it doesn't clump together. I also realize that I need to remove rocks in there. I mean, rocks are great for draining, but rocks prevent roots from spreading out, right? All plants need to have its root to spread out in order for it to be healthy and strong and vibrant, right? I also realize you need to remove the weed because, I mean, why would you grow a plant along with weeds? Because it's competing for nutrients. And by the way, your weed will also always grow faster than the plant that you're planting. So that's why it's so important to remove the weeds, right? And you will realize that unless you do these things, your plant's not going to have the stable environment for it to grow and flourish. I believe likewise for any church as well, that in order for a church to thrive and grow, we need to address the things that are blocking it from growing. And often the things that block a church from growing isn't just strategy and vision, it's the past. And the things of the past often has to deal with sin. And so if you and I want to begin to see this church change, it's time for you and I to turn around, to rend our heart, and to begin to remove that blockage. It's not too late. There's hope because we have a God that is loving, that is merciful, that is gracious and compassionate. When we turn back to him, Job tells us this. When we turn back to him, maybe, guess what? When you turn back to him, maybe just God will begin to bless you. And maybe God will begin to provide the grain for you. Maybe if we begin to turn around as a church, just maybe, God will begin to grow this church, not just by numbers, but by the depth of our relationship with God, this deep life transformation, that this will be an exciting place, that this church will be a life-giving church. I want you to take a look at the seats. Right? This morning, I had you get up to look at everybody so you actually see how many people are in this room too and get to know each other. But look at these seats around you. It's empty a little bit, right? Imagine how this church will feel and look like if these seats were filled. Different. It'd be very different, wouldn't it? Well, imagine these seats were filled and the small groups and the fellowships that you're in. Imagine there were people there that you connected with, you had relationship. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Right? And let me tell you this. It's not my job to put butts in the seats. I know you guys think it is, but it's not my job. It's God's job, right? I can give you vision strategy. But what needs to take place for all of us corporately? It's time. It's time for us to stop walking down this path because we've been walking down it for the last 22 years. There is an end road to this path. It's time to turn around. And as we turn around, we need to look at our past. We need to look at the things through the lens of how, just because they happen. Yes, we acknowledge it happened, but we also need to acknowledge that we offended a holy God. And we need to acknowledge this. As we acknowledge this, guess what? We're actually walking towards God. And as we're walking towards God, guess what's happening? A change of behavior is taking place. And this is what you and I call repentance. Because repentance is a 180 turn. As we make this 180 turn, it forces us to look at the past and then embrace God. This is what God's calling us to. This is a journey that you and I, we need to take. That's why I am calling a solemn assembly. Because this is what the Bible is teaching us to do. It's time. The time is now. The time is now. We cannot wait any longer. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks to you for who you are. We're thankful, Lord, for this abundant blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. That you haven't given up on this church. That you haven't given up on any single one of us. But you said, God, even now, there is still hope. There is still hope because of what Christ has done upon the cross. And so, God, our prayer this morning as your children is to grant us courage. Grant us courage to look at our painful past. Grant us courage to take ownership. Grant us courage to move on from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, and usually on the first Sunday of the month in our church, we partake in the Holy Communion together. And as God will have it, this is an opportune time for us to take the Holy Communion. Because as we take the Holy Communion, we are reminded about the powerful work that Christ has done upon the cross. That he has removed this barrier between God and us. And that we have full access to God the Father. And so as we partake in this Holy Communion, I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you. Let this be the day in which begins our turning motion. As we partake in the communion, let this be the day in which we say to the Lord, yes, God, I am willing to make that turn. I am willing to look at our past. And I'm willing to give it all to you. And as we partake of this bread and cup, we realize the merciful act of God, that he loves us, that he will not forget us, but he will receive us. So make sure you all have one. And I want to invite all of you with a relationship with Jesus Christ to partake in the communion. This is our privilege as a child of God. And so on the night before our Lord Jesus was crucified in the Passover meal, and he gathered the disciples around him, he took this bread and he broke it. And he says, this is my body which was broken for you. Christ's body was broken for our sin. And when we partake of it together, we embrace the freedom that comes along with it. Let us partake of the bread together. After giving thanks to the bread, and he took this cup and he said, this is my blood which has been poured out for you as a covenant, a promise. And so when we partake of this cup, we're reminded that the blood of Christ was shed for you and I, that it will cover all of our sins, that it will cover the sins of us as individuals, but it will also cover the sins of our church. And as we partake of this, we say yes to his promise. So let us partake of this together. Father, we are thankful for your abundant grace in our life. We're thankful, Lord, that you invited us into this time. That you've given us life in Jesus Christ. And that we can always come to you. And God, this morning, as we partake in the bread and the cup, we're saying yes to you, Lord. We're saying yes, Lord. Have your way. That would you please lead our church through this journey. Will you help us, Lord, to fully embrace what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're just going to sing the chorus this morning as a response to God. Sing the chorus.
Lord, I need you. Oh. God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
I know we're all beginning to ask the question, how can we really move on from our past? Some of us, we're still in pain. Some of us, the things that has happened still hurts and still fresh in our memory. And we're saying we don't know how to let it go. We don't know what to do. And maybe this song should be the cry of our hearts this morning. Let us cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, we want you. We want you to do a powerful thing in our life. We want you to do a powerful thing in the life of our church, but we don't know what to do. Maybe the beginning of our journey to turn around is to ask and to seek the Lord and tell him that we need him. So would you stand with me as we sing this song?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord,
may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you as you are turning your face towards him. And as you turn your face towards him this week, have the courage to look at our past. Have the courage to hand our past to our Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be dismissed. Have a blessed week.